Well, just over this past week, there has been a further sea change, I think, in people's expectations, or the market's expectations about the interest rate outlook. Starting in the United States, we did have one softer economic read through the course of the week, which provided a little bit of hope maybe that the Fed can, sort of still have a chance to lower interest rates later in the year. That was the Q1 GDP report that came out midweek, and that was softer than expected. It came in at 1.6% annualized growth, down from 3.4%. The market was looking at 2.4%. The only problem was that most of the price indicators inside that GDP report were on the firm side, and that GDP growth rate was still underpinned by very strong consumer spending, which was up 2.5% annualized. But just about every other indicator that came out last week suggests that, we've got some strength coming through the US economy. And what that implies is that, the GDP report, when we get the various revisions, is probably going to be revised upwards. And we've got a strong start going into Q2. Particularly on things like the housing, which is a key lead indicator. We had a couple of housing indicators last week. New home sales were expected to lift by 0.8%. They lifted by 8.8% month on month. So obviously that's very, very firm. Even though the month before they were down by 5%, but it's been a big rebound running through there. Pending home sales, which look forward to what's coming with people in the early stages of buying homes, March pending home sales were expected to lift by 0.3%. They lifted by 3.4%, and that was after a 1.6% lift the month before. So housing is looking very, very strong going ahead. When we're looking at the household sector, we had March personal income, personal spending. And personal income rose by 0.5% month on month. That was after a 0.3% increase the month before. But this is strong, and this is one of the reasons why U.S. households are more than prepared to spend. And that showed in the personal spending data for the month of March, which was up 0.8%, beat expectations of 0.6%, and that was after a 0.8% increase the month before. So these sorts of indicators are still running very, very strongly. And just to round it off, initial jobless claims, which is one of the key lead indicators I must admit I look at to get some sort of gauge for how tight the labour market is, they came down to 207,000 from 212,000. So that heralds that we're probably going to get another pretty strong non-farm payroll report by the time we get to Friday this week, when that comes out. But the key focus this week in the US obviously is the Fed. And the Fed chairman, poor old Jerome Powell, he's had to pivot a few times about the interest rate outlook through the course of this year. And I expect that there'll be another sort of pivot when we get the commentary that comes out after the FOMC meeting on Wednesday going into Thursday this week. And it won't be that they're going to be changing the funds rate. The funds rate's up there at 5.5%. But I think he'll be dampening much hope of any rate cut through the remainder of this year. That's likely to be the way in which things move. He won't get an awful lot more data to inform him just before that meeting. We do get things like the ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Index that comes out on Wednesday whilst the meeting. That's expected to be around the 50 mark from 50.3. The day before, we get things like the first quarter employment cost index in the US. That looks strong. It was up 0.9% quarter on quarter going back to Q4 last year. It looks as if it's up another 1% for Q1 this year. You just can't have employment costs running at 1% quarter on quarter and expect inflation to come down to 2% anytime soon. So, that's another one of those indicators. And something which I don't mention often, but just house prices in the US That creeping up on an annual basis, we get the Case-Shiller House Price Index. It's an old one. It's February. It takes a while before they get these indicators out. We're running, going back to January, we're running at 6.6% year on year for house prices across the United States. It looks as if it accelerated a bit to 6.7% for the most recent month. So it's household wealth which is being underpinned. And this is the key point in the US. When you're looking at the household sector, there's nothing that's really going to dent them. You've got government support through the budget. One of the most recent initiatives was cancelling off student debts. The government's spending a lot still in the US, helping to support household income in the US. Household income anyway is being lifted by strong wage growth, top side of 4%. And on top of that, household wealth has been skyrocketing with both the equity market and house prices in the US. So you've got all these factors which are militating towards the household sector being in a very, very comfortable position to spend. And that's slowing this progress, getting inflation down. And the other point, when the Fed meets this week, the most recent three monthly CPI readings have all been above market expectations, 3 months in a row. And on top of that, inflation is no longer coming down in the US. If anything, it's drifting up. And so the Fed needs to address this when it has its meeting coming out Wednesday, going into Thursday. In some ways, that will take the steam out of what otherwise would have been the key number of the week. And that goes into Friday, where we get the non-farm payrolls coming out after the most recent month. At this stage, it looks as if average hourly earnings probably grew another 0.3%, keeping the annual rate of growth in average hourly earnings around the 4% mark. Non-farm payrolls, going back the month before, we had an outsized 303,000 increase in non-farm payrolls. Market expects another 243,000 for the most recent month, so another strong result there. And the unemployment rate sitting down there at 3.8%. And continuing this longest run since the late 1960s of the U.S. unemployment rate sitting below 4%, we're now coming up towards 3 years. And the last time this happened was way back in the late 1960s, when you had government fiscal policy and monetary policy priming inflation straight into the oil price crises, which came in the late 60s going into the 70s, and gave us the horrific inflation rate of the 1970s. So we really have got a very, very tight labour market here still in the US. Moving to China, and all we had last week really was the People's Bank of China meeting. Also, there were some meetings there between the U.S. Secretary of State and also President Xi. Looking at, first of all, at the People's Bank of China, the 3.95% wasn't changed in terms of the prime rate in China, or their one-year lending rate at 3.45%. So no change there, even though the economy appears to be struggling. This week in China, we'll get manufacturing, non-manufacturing PMIs coming out turn of the month when we get to the 1st of May. And on the face of it, they look okay-ish. The manufacturing PMI is expected to come back a bit to 50.3 from 50.8 for the month of April. And the non-manufacturing PMI, which was at 53, is expected to come back a bit to 52.2, but not a lot running through there. And, of course, the meeting between the U.S. and China, it's largely on the U.S. side saying, look, we're not going to let you trade unfairly in the world. And the Chinese saying, look, we're not trading unfairly. Why can't you accept that we can be partners? But they're still poles apart in terms of the rhetoric of what they intend to do on the trade side there between the U.S. and China. Moving to Australia last week, and a couple of weeks ago I mentioned that we had two key pieces of information coming out which were really going to determine what would happen to interest rates. The first one was the labour market report, which turned out to be tight still, and the second one would be the CPI last week. Well, the CPI last week really was quite disappointing in terms of higher than expected. And between the labour market report and the CPI report, it really does herald that the Reserve Bank, when it brings out its monetary policy statement on the 7th of May, the same day that has the interest rate setting meeting, is going to have to change some forecasts, and they're not going to be pleasant changes. It'll have to change the labour market to looking tighter for longer, and the inflation forecast to be higher than they previously forecast for longer. The CPI last week, the market was expecting 0.8%. Yeah, we got 1%. And as a result of that, yes, the annual inflation rate came down, but to 3.6% rather than the hoped for 3.4%. Remembering that by the middle of this year, the Reserve Bank has a forecast of 3.2, which is not within cooey of getting down to that. And the underlying inflation readings were even more disappointing. The trim mean, which was expected to be 0.8, was also up 1%, and the weighted median, which was expected to be up 0.9, was up 1.1%. And that means that we've got those underlying inflation readings still 4% or more. The trim mean's up 4% year on year, and the weighted median's just holding at 4.4% year on year. Cutting inside the CPI, it's services prices mostly, which are tending to hold things up, plus also housing rents, which actually rose to their highest annual increase since 2006. But things like medical care and education costs, they always rise in the first quarter, but these particular increases were amongst the biggest we've seen in the last 20 odd years. A lot of pressure points still running through the CPI. It's just not coming down the way it should. And so this is starting to really change the views that it's almost impossible now for the Reserve Bank to consider any interest rate cut in this year. So if there is an interest rate cut, it's well and truly out there in 2025. But it's also raising a possibility that they may need to raise interest rates further. And I'm not prepared to forecast that yet, but it's a risk which is starting to build. Why I'm not prepared to forecast it is there's no point doing just a 25 basis point rate hike if you're getting to a position where you think you've got a problem to deal with. They have to do two or three, and that's a pretty big threshold. So obviously the bond market now is starting to reflect that in Australia, that not that we're going to get rate hikes, but certainly we're not going to get any interest rate cuts for a very long time to come. We're getting that shift running through the interest rate outlook. There were some other data out last week relating to trade prices. Export prices, most recent quarter one, fell by 2.1%. Producer prices, final stage producer prices, lifted by 0.9% quarter on quarter for the second consecutive quarter, and the annual rate of change has lifted to 4.3% from 4.1%. So the pipeline running through the PPI is looking pretty inflationary too. So this week,